Good morning. What a wonderful day to come out and praise the Lord. Tell you, I drove out into the churchyard this morning, and the first place I looked at was at the sign up there. Because in December, me and Sue were invited to the Presbyterian Church in Willow Lake, and I got there and I drove into the church lot, and they have this huge sign in front of the church, and it says worship 9:30. Mike Barker speaking. And I almost drove into the sign. I mean, I'm looking at this going, what in the world? And I asked him before church, I says, were you advertising that I was coming, or you were warning people that I was going to be there? And I don't think they ever answered me, to be honest. But I'm up here, and I got my suit on again. I think it's only get to wear it a few times. And I thought this morning, I'm going to wear my suit, because last time, you know, somebody told me I look good in it. So maybe after church, if somebody says, boy, Mike did a terrible job, maybe somebody else will say, yeah, but he looked good doing it. So, but praise the Lord. Heidi and Kim are back. It's good to have you guys back. And thank you. They went to snow days with 17 kids. And thank you guys for doing that. That was just a wonderful thing. We got to pray with them before they left, and it was, and Kim has something to say. Okay. Yep. And I was just going to say, I don't know, do you two, do we need to buy a new hair color or anything from hauling 17 kids around? I think the Love and Action Fund would cover that. But thank you. But kids?
Don't they look excited to be up front? We made them write it down, but I didn't bring it up here, so they have to say it. First of all, we had a great group of kids. We had a lot of fun. I am still recouping. Yep. I don't know about you. Yep. The lack of sleep and the amount of sugar these kids can live off is amazing. And I was thinking, oh, they're going to sleep all the way home. I think they got more wound up as the trip went on. So we had a great time. So we're going to hand the mic, and then you can just tell one thing either you learned or you liked about camp, okay?
I liked going swimming.
I enjoyed Pastor Nash's service.
I like playing basketball and meeting new people.
I like seeing the friends that I see at other retreats.
It was good seeing Pastor Ricky again, and I really enjoyed Paul Nash's seminary on success in Christ.
I like the swimming.
I like singing the songs.
One thing that I wanted to share, too, this was my first year. I've never been there before. And you can hear all about it, and you can try to visualize it. You can try to understand it. But until you're there and you feel it, it's a whole different thing. And the thing that set in my heart was watching these kids and all the other kids feel secure and feel safe being there and being able to shout hallelujah and shout amen. It was wonderful. So... thanks.
The church service goes so fast to get to the sermon when you're up here. It just seems like right there we're there. But I want to share a little bit with you before we start. But I think most of you have heard this story. But about 3 weeks ago, not very long ago, I went over to visit Trish Anderson, Geneva's daughter. A few days before she passed away, Alden had called me and asked me to come over. And so I went over there and brought my Bible, and we read together and stuff. And I think I'll always think of this whenever I speak anymore. And we read Scripture and we prayed together. And when it was time to go, Trish asked me, she says, one more thing. She says, would you speak at my funeral? It will be in the Lutheran Church in Badger. And I said, yes, I would do that for you. And I said, is there anything that I could do for you or say for you that you'd like to pass on? And she said, no. She says, she kind of seemed like she hesitated for a second, and she says, just speak, Mike. Well, I'm not sure I know what that is, but that's what she told me. And the day of her funeral there, I got there, and when I got there, Charlie, the undertaker, sort of told me, hey, Pastor Mark's looking for you, and so I went in his office, and I asked him, I told him who I was, and And I says, would you like me to speak ahead of you or behind you? It doesn't matter to me. And he says, I'm not speaking. He says, you are. And I said, well, you're not going to do a sermon or anything? No. And I says, okay. He says, it'll be all right. So I went out, and did I panic? Absolutely. But I went out, and I sat in the pew, and in Badger, the pews sit this way, and then in the fellowship hall, they sit this way. Well, me and Sue were sitting right in this front one. So I got my pen out, and I was going to start writing some more because I thought, boy, I really got to expand on what is written here. And I looked up, and here sat in the pew about this far away. Was it a sermon? No, but it was Dan Kleinjohn. And I told Dan, let's go pray. And so we went back to pray, and I told Dan, I says, man, I'm doing the sermon too. I didn't know that. I thought I was just going to do the eulogy. And Dan, well, he says, you ought to be used to that. He says, the Gideons didn't show up one Sunday. And I said, that's not helping. I said, that's really not helping me here. And when Heidi called me the other day for the Texas, her and Joe were at the funeral, and we got talking about it. And I told Heidi that I didn't even realize what was written in my notes. I mean, that God had already prepared me to give the sermon that day. He knew it. I mean, did it surprise me? Yes. But it did surprise him? No. I mean, that he already knew that I was the one up there. And I told Heidi, I didn't even realize what actually he had used my hand to write in my notes when I started giving it. And that's kind of what led me to this, to Philippians here today, that, you know, we get that call and we need to press on. And so that's going to be our message today. If you would stand, we'll read Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Father in heaven, Lord, I just thank you for this scripture and all, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would take this nervousness away from me so that I can give the message that we wrote together, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. This passage, I mean, it's just been on my heart lately when Paul's talking about pressing on, you know, to press on, he's telling us. And Paul certainly knows what it means to press on. I mean, how many times was he beaten? He was thrown in jail. He was shipwrecked. And yet, the determination in him. I mean, I can just hear the determination in this scripture that Paul's going to, he's just going to keep pressing on. He's just going to press on to serve the Lord. He's determined to take hold of what Jesus is calling him to do. His goal is Christ's goal for him. What a great goal to have, and that should be all of our goal. He knows that he just wasn't saved from something, that he was saved for something, and he presses on, or he's determined to keep heading towards that goal. You know, God saved us to go to heaven. I mean, absolutely. But he also delivered us so that we could have a relationship with him through which he could use us to carry his message to people that do not know him. And last Sunday, Larry spoke, and that again led me to this passion when Larry was speaking on when he was talking about Abraham and Moses and Noah being called. And when Abraham got the call, Larry asked us, what's the first word? It was go. He got going. Jesus' message to us in Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, what is the first word? Go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus commands us to go. He commands us, but it's also an invitation to us to serve with him. You know, I mean, some people you ask, what are you doing? Oh, I'm working for the Lord, you know. And I, you know, when you work for somebody, you're not with them all the time. That's what I like, that we work with the Lord. Because without him, we can do nothing. Pastor Brian would be proud of that. But I got the word from writing this the other day. I was sitting in my chair at home, and I'll be honest with you, I was sitting there and I was praying and I was fretting, and I thought, man, I'm just not going to get anything wrote. I mean, what am I going to do? And this does not come easy to me. Joan asked me before the service, you look nervous. And I almost said, nervous, I'm scared to death. But I heard the words, go. Get up out of the chair, you know. Come on, let's go. And I got up and I prayed that God would bless the pen in my hand. I always pray that. And that he would get me to start writing. And did he bless the pen in my hand? I guess that's all of you to figure out today if he did or not. But I pressed on. I mean, I got up and I got moving. And I don't know if, Larry, if you relate to this, but the first sentence in my sermon is the hardest to write. I mean, it's just the hard, just like the first step sometimes when we take, when we step out to serve God. It's so hard just to get anything wrote down in that first sentence. And I think I could throw away a whole pile of paper just on the first sentence. I don't know why. It's just hard to get started, you know. But you need to start writing, and I needed to start writing. I shouldn't say you, and put some labor into it. Because I think we've all learned that God's gifts often require labor on our part, don't they? They always require labor. When he calls us, there's usually some work involved, and I think Noah would testify to that. I mean, I think he would say absolutely. I mean, about 100 years worth or whatever it was to build the ark. You know, and I look at Noah, you know, God could have said, here, Noah, here's the ark, you know, threw him the captain's hat and put the animals on and got going, but he was called obedience. You know, he was called to obedience to build this ark. God gives us a free gift of salvation, and then in Philippians 2:12, he tells us to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. So are we ready to go to work? Are we ready to press on and be determined? I love that word, be determined to do God's work. And please know, I'm not standing up here and talking about working for your salvation or earning your salvation. I hope that I'm not coming across that way, because if you're a believer in Christ and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that work is finished. I mean, that's done. But I am talking about going out and following him and hearing his calling. I love in our first reading from Joshua, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I mean, that's one of my favorite scriptures. What a powerful statement. Every day when we wake up, we get to choose that day whom we're going to serve. I'm not talking about salvation, but I'm talking about service and working with Jesus. We get the choice, and I believe that God provides the opportunities to us every day to stand up or take that step. I don't believe for one minute that there aren't opportunities in our lives, in my life, in your life, every day to witness for Christ. I mean, every day there's a chance to let your light shine. The other morning there at coffee, there must have been 10 of us there, or I don't know how many was there, and me and my friend Tom were going fishing, and I mean, this guy was depressed. He'd been fishing for 2 days and hadn't caught any fish. And I think it really depressed him when I caught more fish than him the day before. I think that's why he was so depressed, because I never do that. And I mean, people were walking in asking him, what's wrong with you? And he was sitting there, and he's a good Catholic friend. We've had many good conversations together. And I says, you know what, Tom, I'm going to pray for you right now. And I says, Lord, you know, if it's thy will, let Tom catch some fish today. And, you know, and maybe it's not the greatest prayer. There's a lot of better things to pray for, but that's what was on my heart, so that's what I prayed. And you'd have thought he was a Baptist when I got done, because everybody in the place heard him say, amen. I mean, he said it loud, and I got up to go, and a gentleman sitting there, he's kind of a grumpy guy, and he goes, I think there's a lot better things to pray for than that. So then I got to sit back down, and we talked about prayer and inviting Jesus into our conversations and our life. It was just wonderful. In Mark 1:3, John the Baptist, he's crying out, prepare for the way of the Lord. And I like that, prepare the way. God prepares our way, and we need to prepare our hearts to receive his word and prepare our hearts to follow him. You know, even coming to church, I mean, some mornings do we just get up, well, let's go to church, you know, or whatever, or do we prepare our hearts to come to God's house? You know, do we say, Lord, you know, I'm a little angry today or I'm a little hurt, just take that from me, you know, that I'm coming to your house because I know that God wants to speak to every one of us today. If it's through a hymn or one of the readings, I know he's talking to you, and maybe through the message, I don't know, but I know that God has something to say to you today, to each one of us. But we have to be prepared to see what he puts in front of us, you know, that preparation, you know. I mean, think of it, when we go to basketball games or somewhere, man, we prepare, we get our colors on, whatever they are. I mean, we're ready to go, you know. I mean, we want to get to the game, or if we're going on vacation, or if I'm going fishing, I'll tell you, I make sure I'm prepared. I got everything I need, you know. And we need that, do that to, with God. We need to be prepared to see what he's going to do, you know. I mean, we don't want to miss anything. You don't want to miss a game if it's going to be a good game. I mean, who would have wanted to miss the Super Bowl? Especially if you're a New England fan. But I mean, we have to be prepared to see what God has for us. I had to get that in my sermon somewhere. So, but I mean, every day God wants us to participate in his Super Bowl, and we need to be determined to do it. And how do we prepare? Well, prayer and asking God every morning, you know, use me today, Lord. Show me that person that I need to help me see that person that I want to help. Reading his word. And in writing this, I thought, I'm really wanting to preach reading his word, because I'm going to be very honest. This last year, I have not read my Bible a lot, and I might as well tell you that. And I don't know why. I'd love to stand up here and say, oh, I've had this back pain for sick. That has nothing to do with it. I don't know what it is, but I'm determined to press on and get back into his word. I have not been in it. This last year, I just struggled with that, and I don't know why. But when God puts people in front of you to help them or to share with them, and, you know, you drop the ball, I mean, don't you feel like heck when somebody, you know it's an opportunity and you just don't get it done. You just don't take that step. I mean, don't you feel like heck, you know, I think the Spirit convicts us then that, hey, you asked for an opportunity, here it is. You know, and we don't take advantage of that. And I know some days man, we all have tough days, and it's hard to press on. You know, some days it's hard to motivate yourself, no less motivate someone else. But I think, how do we do that? I mean, it's take your focus off you. I mean, I find that so much when I get feeling sorry for myself. If I go out and start talking to somebody about the Lord, or I witness to somebody, boy, it just lifts you up. The word just lifts you up. And I stand up here, and I tell you what, I look out and I see people that I know that are hurting. I see people that have lost loved ones in their lives. And then I see your faith. And it is, and other people see it. And what a witness you all are to us. I mean, it's hard sometimes. That's when our faith shines the brightest, I think, is when those losses at times, and yet it comes just shining through you. It is just a blessing to us. And maybe you don't know how amazing it is, but it is amazing to all of us to believe it, to see it. Our faith is our faith, and we need to press it into action. It is so important to share our faith with others. Why? Because that's how we grow our faith. You know, some people say, well, it's my faith, you know, it's mine. But how do you grow it if you don't share it? I mean, if you don't share what God's doing in your life. That's why coming to church on Sunday, I believe, is so important. I mean, I just do. I just believe it's important to be here. That sharing a fellowship, that God's word, you know, and I think we do that pretty well here. I love to hear Eric Westlake talk when he was here, and he shared with us, you know, and when that Saturday night when he got done speaking, he said he was getting his stuff together, and he was standing there talking with people, and he looked at the back of our church, and there was a group of people there praying together. And I love his statement the next morning. His statement was, that's the sign of a healthy church. He says, when I look back and see a group of people praying together after the speaker's done, that's the sign of a healthy church. And it's up to us to keep it healthy. It's up to us to pray together, to keep that going, to keep it healthy. We don't have a shepherd right now, but then again, I think we're all shepherds. It's up to us to do that, to keep serving, to keep stepping out, to copy Pastor Brian's words, you know, we need each other. I mean, we need each other, and I certainly need all of you, and You people give me a lift, and I hope I give back just a little bit of what you've all given me, just a little bit. It's so fun to visit with positive people or faithful people. I mean, it is. There's so much negative out there, whether it's on the news or from other people. It's just, you know, when us deacons pray for the speaker in the office there, many times we thank God for the rumble outside the door of just the people coming in and joy to see each other. You know, the hugging, we can hear all of you out here, and it is sweet music. Look at what our youth did, Snow Days Youth. I don't know how many from our church went, but 17 went total. I mean, they went out and they invited people. And I know, do you kids realize you did ministry? That's ministry. You went out and invited other youth to go with you. You were ministers. You represented our church. You invited them. Thank you for that. That is so important. My grandson was so excited when he got home, and he talked about what Eric Westlake said. Well, first of all, I called him that night, and I says, Caden, how'd it go? I can't talk, Grandpa. He says, I lost my voice. I says, did you talk the whole time? And he goes, yeah, I don't know where he gets that from, but must be from Sue. But I mean, that's ministry. That's the love in action. I mean, you guys went out and brought other youth in, and that's just wonderful. One of my favorite people to read about is Caleb in the Bible. He gets very little mention in it, but he lifts me up because he is a can-do person. Remember in Numbers, the Israelites, they get to the edge of the promised land and they send out the 12 spies. They all come back with this wonderful report. Yes, the land is flowing with milk and honey, like God said, and look at the beautiful fruit that's there. And then comes the word, however. 10 of them bring the word, however. These dudes in this land are pretty big and strong. I don't think we better be messing with them. You know, their cities are fortified. Mate, we better stay here. Fear sets in. After all God had showed them on this journey, and they were scared. After all God has done for us and shows us, sometimes we are scared. But Caleb jumps up, and I mean, I love it. And he says, hey, come on, let's go up and take possession of it, for we certainly can. I mean, he said, let's do it. He was saying, let's go. We need to press on. For 10 of the spies, it was the fear of the Canaanites, and for Caleb, it was simple. It was his faith in God. He knew it wasn't his strength that they would go into this new land and take over it, but that God would deliver them by his strength. Him and Joshua, they knew it. I mean, let's go. And we know the rest of the story. They didn't do it, and 40 years later, only Caleb and Joshua and the new generation entered the land. But we all need that little bit of Caleb, and I think our youth did it. They just, come on, let's go invite these kids. You know, thank you for that. We see people that need a little help or that kind word or something that needs to be done. We need to be like Caleb and say, let's go. Come on, let's go. With God's help, we can do this. Just go and press on. Leave the however word at home. So many times we just love that however word, though. I don't know. We want to be one of the 10 spies instead of one of the 2. We see the land of opportunity of sharing the land of milk and honey with someone, and then we say, you know, we know that we should go do that, and then we say, you know, however, boy, I'm not very good at that. You know, I better just stay here. You know, we see it. It's right there. But no, we better just stay here. But we need to take that first step. And God loves us to take that first step. When we step out in faith, trusting him, you'll never convince me that he doesn't have a big smile upon his face. You will never convince me of that. Even when the Israelites finally crossed into the promised land 40 years later, God took them to the edge of the Jordan, and he says, I'll stop the river from flowing after you do what? Take the first step. When the priests step in the water, then I will stop the river from flowing. You know, get excited. I mean, get excited. I mean, I look at the call committee. I mean, thank you for all you're doing. I mean, you're pressing on, and I know some days it's a frustration comes in. I know it would if I was on there, or patience. I mean, thank you for pressing on to do what God's called you to do. And sometimes it's our past that keeps us from taking that step into the promised land of God's rest and peace. We keep recalling a failure in the past, and we use the, well, I've been there and done that. I ain't going down that road again. Have you ever done that? Maybe if we failed, we weren't prepared to see what God had for us to do. But here Paul tells us what to do with that in verse 13. But the one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward. I picture him leaning forward into what lies ahead. He's pressing on. And Paul's not telling us he totally forgets his past. In Scripture, he tells us who he was several times. He doesn't forget it, and sometimes we as Christians, we don't totally forget our past, but hopefully we're not controlled or it doesn't motivate us to go back into that past. We need to press on and lean forward. God has a rich future prepared for every one of us. As believers, I know he has a lot of exciting works for everybody here. He does. I mean, he wants to use everyone here, and he's prepared us for to do them. And that supersedes anything in our past is going forward. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Let the new things come that God wants you to do. Not demanding them, but be determined to seek them out in your life. Enjoy those new and exciting things. Sometimes they can catch you off guard. God never lets you get too comfortable. And I gotta share a story with you that really touched my heart, because some of it touches me that happened to me. But I read a story a while back about a guy who just got out of the military, and he was hitchhiking home, and he had a heavy duffel bag, so he wasn't having a lot of fun trying to get home with this duffel bag. And he had his thumb stuck out, and here comes this big, shiny, expensive car. And, well, he knew that guy wouldn't stop. That's not the car that's going to pick up a hitchhiker. But to his amazement, this car pulled over. And he ran over the car, and he threw his big bag in the back, and he jumped up. And it was a plush car, nice leather seats and stuff. And he was greeted by a friendly smile of a handsome older gentleman with gray hair and a deep tan. And the gentleman said, well, hello there, son. And he says, where are you heading? And the young man told him that where he lived, and he said, well, that's on the way. I'm going to Chicago, so I'll drop you off there. Well, you know how it is when you meet somebody new. You start talking, and you're sharing their histories together, and they're talking about everything under the sun, the weather, I imagine, everything else. And this young hitchhiker that just got out of the service was a Christian. And he said he just felt God's hand upon him, and he felt this strong compulsion to witness to Mr. Hanover. This was the guy driving the car. But witnessing to an older fella, he said he was really apprehensive, and it was kind of scary. But he felt God kind of pushing him to press on with this gentleman. So he started talking to him. He says, I got something important to talk to you about, sir. And the guy says, well, go ahead. So the young man started talking to him about Christ and the way of salvation, and he gave him the gospel. And he asked Mr. Hanover, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? And to his surprise, the man pulled the car over on the side of the road, and he thought for sure the guy was going to grab him and throw him out of the car. I mean, he says, I felt that. But something strange and wonderful began to happen. This giant gentleman began to cry, and he cried and he cried. And he then told the hitchhiker that he did indeed want to accept Christ into his heart. So they prayed, and this gentleman did it. So he dropped the hitchhiker off at his house, and he thanked him. His name was Roger, and he says, thank you. And he gave him tearfully, he said, this is the greatest event that's ever happened to me in my life, that he knew this. And then he dropped Roger off his house. And that should be the end of the story, right? But wait. 5 years went by, and Roger got married, and he had a child. And one day he had to go to Chicago for a business trip. And while packing, out fell this business card from Mr. Hanover that he'd kind of forgotten all about. Some coincidence, right? And while he got to Chicago, he looked up and he went to this Hanover Enterprise, this huge building, and he asked to see Mr. Hanover. And the receptionist said, oh, that's impossible, but who are you? Well, and she said, but if you're an old friend of the family, you know, you could see Mrs. Hanover. Well, he was pretty disappointed in this, that he really did want to see the guy that God helped him lead him to Christ. So he went into her office, and she was kind of cold, and she said, so you knew my husband, huh? And he explained that years earlier, her husband had picked him up, that he'd been this kind gentleman that gave him a ride when he got out of the service and even dropped him off at his house. Oh, she said, could you tell me when that was? And yeah, he goes, exactly, it was May 7th. That's the day I was discharged out of the service 5 years ago. And that's when I got out of the Army, so he said, I know the exact date. And she got really quiet. And she said, did anything unusual happen that day or anything? I mean, was he okay? And he thought, man, do I share this with her, you know, because she was kind of standoffish. And again, he felt the Lord just telling him to press on, to keep pushing. And he said, just simply, Mrs. Hanover, I ask your day, I preached to your husband the gospel, and I asked him if he would accept Christ. And she said, he started crying, and we pulled over, and he accepted the Lord that day. And then she began to cry uncontrollably. He couldn't do anything with her. I mean, she was crying and crying. And after a while, she tells him that she grew up in a Christian home, but her husband didn't. And she'd witnessed to him for years and prayed and prayed and prayed that someday that God would change his heart and save him. And she said, after he dropped you off, he didn't make it home, that he died in a head-on collision very shortly from the place where you told me he left you off. And she started crying more, and she says, I thought God had not kept his promise, and I quit living for the Lord 5 years ago. I blame God for keeping his word. But God's timing is always perfect, isn't it? He's never too late. His timing is perfect. God called, like Larry talked about his calling, and a young man stepped out. And a young man stepped out, and he pressed on. And I knew I was going to lose my place here because I didn't intend to share that story. But what an awesome God we serve. He simply asks us to listen, to step out, and be obedient. He is the master, and we are the servants, even though sometimes we try to reverse that in our lives, don't we? Sometimes we want him to be the servant and do our bidding. It's sometimes not an easy life here, but we are called to press on. We don't have to do it with our strength, thank goodness, and no, we shunned. We rely on Christ's strength. And when we hear God's call, don't be afraid to step out and consider it joy that God would speak to you. The great creator of the universe that would speak to you, that would speak to me, that he would take his time to speak to us and answer him as Isaiah did. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this scripture, Lord. We believe now that you speak to us, and just help us to listen. Open our ears and open our hearts. Wherever we go, Lord, just help us to be conscious of the people that we meet, and give us the strength to step out in faith. Help us to hear your voice so we can encourage and strengthen and comfort others. Help us to press on, to be more like you, Lord, to be like you, ever loving and ever giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.